Hey, buddy.
I always laugh when I hear your voice. It's been too long, Ben.
It has. So I was looking at our Skype history. Has it seriously been since September?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Didn't we do one? I wouldn't be surprised. It's not like we do them outside of Skype.
True.
It's a different year, Ben. It's a different year. Remember when we used to do them every other week? Lord.
Yeah, that was... back in the days.
It might have been a mix of COVID and us not having much to do and me not having a skate company and you right? only having one kid. And like there were life has changed. Life has changed over the years. Yeah. How are you, man? It's been a bit. Everything good in your life?
Oh, dude, things are great. I have nothing to complain about. Yeah. So 2 days ago, Wednesday, before we record, marked 24 years ago that I stepped off the bus and then onto the yellow footprints for boot camp.
Oh, wow.
And it's amazing that I work there now.
Yeah. So how long were you enlisted?
Just 4 years. Okay. 4 years active and four in the reserves.
Okay.
The wife's still in.
Okay.
She's probably going to try to hit 30.
Oh, excellent. Good. That's a good goal.
Which fucking blows my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's, man, I don't want to get crazy, but, like, my daughter's looking at colleges, and driving her and her friend out to her friend's parents' lake house this weekend. Oh, it's a long weekend, and it's like, she's driving in her car with her friend. I'm like, Jesus. Her parents, the friend's parents are there, so it's not like...
Yeah, there's at least that.
Yeah, it's not like four high school kids. It's not going to be
too crazy.
No, well, I mean, yeah, they're good kids anyway, so we have full confidence. I mean, I probably would be fine, too, if I went, but there are definitely kids that you should not let out to drive by themselves for a long weekend.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But like, yeah, this is a good group.
I remember the shenanigans that we pulled when we were younger. So,
oh, for sure.
I have an idea of what shenanigans my kids are going to get into. But, I mean, shit's so much different nowadays. Like, we got into a conversation with our oldest about her. So, she got an electric scooter for Christmas.
Oh, nice.
And it's fun, but it's, you know, one of the cheap Chinese ones.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's awkward because you have to keep your foot on this one particular plug, and then it's just a pain in the butt. So... Segway sells refurbished versions of their electric scooters on Amazon. So we got a great deal on one for, and it's so much faster and it's so much more fun. And nice. I can even go on it.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So I took that out the other night and just had a blast. It was a ton of fun. So she was trying to convince us to let her go down to the corner market. It's like 1.1 miles away. It would have taken her half an hour to go down there, buy her stuff, and come back.
Sure.
And she was trying so hard to convince us. She had great arguments. I can't fault her for that. And then we compromised by me driving behind her.
Oh, nice. There you go.
The way down there. And so she's on the way back. And so she stopped and saw some of her friends on the way. And she, I don't know if she said, I'm going down there. Do you guys want anything? Mm-hmm. One of her friends said, yeah, get me some milk. I'm like, milk?
What?
That's random. Yeah. So she buys her a quart of milk, 1% milk. And she's got it in a bag, a paper bag that she's bringing back. And she hits a speed bump and bag falls out. All the candy she buys fucking shatters. So didn't break the milk. And so then it was a whole thing.
I believe it. I mean, you've got to learn, right? I mean.
Yeah. And part of me wanted to be you know what? It was about the same time, because she'll be 12 this is June.
Okay.
And that was about the same time that I started, quote unquote, breaking out on my own and doing stuff. But, there was only one parent in the house when I was that age. And,
right.
You know, my mom was doing her thing and going back to school and being a nurse and PT assistant and stuff. So, we kind of had our run of the house. And then I started skating shortly after. So I was I'm going to go skate. You know, I got friends that do that, so bye.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I turn into the perfectly healthy human being you see before you now.
Exactly, yeah. Well, everybody grows up, and you've got to get through some bad times to get to the good times. It's good to hear that she's trying to get her independence, though. 12 is an interesting age. Our youngest is 13, and very similar. Like, I know what I'm doing, Dad. Don't bug me. And it's like, all right. Like,
yeah, it's not you that I'm worried about, soon. Though.
Yeah, no, yeah. No, exactly.
And that's what we kept trying to tell her. And like, you can't tell someone that age anything because they know everything, clearly.
No.
And so it's just like, I don't think you understand the dangers that are out there.
No.
And like, they were still present when we were younger, but, you know, I don't know why it was different, but
yeah,
it just was.
I don't know. I think it's more obvious now because of social media and the way that the news moves and the you know, the internet and everything. It's like, you know, the next door fear mongering. Like we would always hear about the random you know, neighbor putting, you know, razor blades in the Halloween candy, right?
Yeah.
Never happened.
No,
but
never did.
Then you get this one news story that spreads like wildfire on Facebook or whatever, with one person who, you know, found a razor blade in a Snickers bar or whatever, whether it really happened or not.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
See, I told you it happened.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's a thing. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's great. It's great to hear that she's growing up.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ready for it, too, honestly.
We never are.
No. If I could just, like, keep her in a box.
Yeah.
And just, like, just revert her back to, like, 8. Because she was still a lot of fun. She was still super cute.
Yeah.
I mean, she still is, but, like, she wasn't as sassy then.
Yeah, it's the comebacks that that really, you don't miss the quiet, like acceptance, you know?
Yeah. I think that's what it is. Just like, okay, you know best.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Nope.
Like, even though they didn't know to say that, like, that's probably what was going on. But, yeah. All right, let's stop talking about our kids getting older.
Yeah.
This making me feel older. Oh, and so we had a new person report into work yesterday. Oh,
okay.
And so they all go through the building and talk to, like, department heads and different departments and see what they do and kind of thing. So, as they're checking in, like, they come and talk to me, and I'm like, oh, hey, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And, like, through conversation, she's like, oh, I was born in 2003. I'm like, God damn it.
Jesus, dude.
I was almost out of my active duty time by then. Fuck.
Yeah, it's a thing.
And there's another guy at work. I just he had his license out on the counter for some reason, and it was vertical. And I'm like, that usually means someone's under 21. I picked it up, and I was like, fuck, this kid's 19.
Oh, yeah.
God, Jesus. And then I started to feel like Matthew McConaughey. I get older, they stay the same age.
Yeah.
Which is kind of true because, like, every 3 years or, like, every summer or so, like, we'll get new people in and they'll rotate out. So, like, there's always going to be new people and they're always going to be younger than me and it sucks.
It's fine. It's part of the job, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But in 2 days, I turn another year older.
Well, so happy birthday. Happy early birthday. Are you doing your 40 tricks or 30 tricks or 25 tricks?
I haven't even skated since Grindsgiving.
Was our trip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just been, it's difficult because we, you know, Dylan's 2.5 or almost 3.
Right.
And it's just, it's hard to find the time to be able to do that. And, you know, the wife's got her deal and stuff like that. So she's... Yeah. She was saying today how, like, there's no way that her migraines aren't affecting her quality of life. And I'm like, I agree. Like, I think it's every single day you say that you have, you know, a crazy headache. There's got to be something going on.
Yeah, that's not good.
So, yeah. She's doing more trying to figure it out kind of thing, which is good. So she's seeing a neurologist. And
good.
I'm like, why don't you go talk to the PT guy? He does dry needling. Maybe he can stick a needle in you somewhere and fix it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I always think a actual practitioner, you know, medical practitioner is the way to go. But I love my chiropractic. You know, there's like specific needs of your body. Like, I know when I need to go to the doctor, and thankfully I have a chiropractor who will tell me. I think I told this story about my lymph nodes. Did I tell that story on the podcast?
I don't think so.
Maybe briefly.
Tell it again.
Yeah. So I had, I think I mentioned it on Gear Talk, but I had a bit of a scare where I went in and I had a really tight neck.
It was Gear Talk, yeah.
Yeah, I had a really tight neck. And, you know, I went to the chiropractor. I'm like, hey, you know, my neck's been really tight for a while and kind of hurts when I swallow. And, you know, what's going on with that? And he's like, that's not something that normally I can deal with the chiropractic. Let's do a quick examination. So he's like, moving my muscles around and checking things out in my neck. And he sees that one of my lymph nodes, which everybody has lymph nodes. They are the way that your body gets like white blood cells and like things that will attack bad germs and viruses and stuff in your system. That's the whatever the organ or whatever it is that creates those things, as far as I know. So if they are swollen, that means that they're fighting something. And he's like, you've got a really swollen lymph node over here, and that's probably what's causing it. It is likely that it's so swollen that it's pushing into the inside of your mouth, inside of your neck. So that's what you're feeling when you're swallowing. I'm like, that doesn't sound good. So he set me up with an appointment later that evening with the general practitioner who, you know, thankfully it's with my work. They have a wellness center. So I went into the chiropractic there, and then just right next door is, you know, somebody who can just do physicals and just general whatever. It's also in a setup that has like a workout, like a gym area and exercise rooms and things like that. So it's a really, really cool. I mean, this is one of the perks of working at a big corporate job, you know, all of these silly benefits that you wouldn't necessarily need, but it's awesome when you have them.
Yeah, it's nice to have.
Yeah. So I met with her, and she's like, yeah, this feels like a lymph node issue. I would probably, you know, just let it die down for a week, and then, you know, if need be, we can bring you back in and do an ultrasound and check it out. And I was like, cool. So I just let it die down for a week, and then it came back, and I was like, hey, it's back. What should I do? And she said, well, let's set you up with an ultrasound, and this is all through the UNC, the University of North Carolina healthcare system.
Oh,
so,
that's awesome.
Yep, it was really nice. That's who I usually use anyway, so they had all my records. So she was able to set me up with a ultrasound in, you know, a day or two, and sent me over there. And that was a weird experience because, you know, most people doing that are going through cancer. And I'm like, yeah, that's not a good place to be. Like, I don't want to be in that conversation, you know? So I get in there and they do the ultrasound and they're like, okay, so we can confirm that this is a swollen lymph node. There's nothing weird growing in there. It's clear. There's no cancer. But we have two other lymph nodes that are swollen on the opposite side of your neck that could be contributing. And we can't get a good reading on them. So we're going to send you out to a CTI or a CAT scan or whatever, or a CT scan. And I'm like, oh no, like, what does that mean? You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, a week of concern, and they got me in quickly, but it was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, this is bad. And I'm like, literally, this is when you get, you know, you get to my age, I'm 47, you get to my age and you're like, I've had friends who passed away from cancer. And like our friend Joey, just, you know, late summer, you know, we saw him, I saw him at Blading Cup, and he looked like shit, but like he was mobile. He was walking around and, you know, he passed from cancer, and I was like, dude, this is not happening. Like, I can't believe this. So I go into the CT scan and they give me the injection, and I've got this IV in me, and they're doing this like tracing liquid or whatever. And they put me in the machine, and I start feeling all like warm and gross, and they do the scan. And then, you know, a couple days later, they let me know that everything is fine. No issues whatsoever. I've started with a neti pot routine. Have you ever done a neti pot?
No. I know of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that I've done that on accident before, jumping into the pool or in the ocean, but I've never done it willingly.
So my understanding is, you know, if you think of your nose and you've got two nostrils, right? So they'll go up and then they meet in the middle and then they go down like the back of your throat. And at the top, before they meet in the middle, there are two branches that branch out, and that's where the sinuses are. So if you have a sinus infection, that's why you get like this horrible feeling like underneath your eye or like above your cheek, like that whole area. That's like your sinus area. So what a neti pot can do is it's technically sinus irrigation, I think. Neti pot might be the brand name or maybe the device that you use. But it's a saline solution, water and some salt and minerals that simulate mucus, basically. And you fill up this thing, you put it up one of your nostrils, you tilt your head over the other way, and you let the water flow up your nostril, across the thing, and then into your sinuses, and then out the other nostril. It is not for the faint of heart, dude.
It's making my eyes water.
Oh, it's the worst.
Just thinking about it.
It is the worst feeling. So I've been doing this since, I mean, probably August or so. I don't know how long it's been. But I've been doing it every other day, and I feel amazing. Like, I've been sick once. Like, I usually don't get sick to begin with, but I've been sick once. I don't have, like, you know, that runny nose feeling that, you know, I used to get. I don't have that anymore. The feeling sometimes that, you know, you blow your nose and it's like, I feel like I could blow my nose again. Like, there's something in there that I just can't get out. That's what this does really well. So it will flush all of that stuff out. And, you know, I've been very lucky. Like, again, that could have been something. Like, there's no reason why I didn't have cancer and did have, you know, just some sort of an infection. It's just luck. You know, your body doesn't know the difference. So, again, it was a very scary time, but I made it through. Yeah, now I'm doing the neti potting every couple of days, and it's been helping. I mean, this year has been a little difficult, not just 2024, but like the last 6 months or so, just getting the skates going, and you know, just the stress around that, and you know, everything is adding up and compiling, and it's like, God damn it! Like, you know, I love what I do, but like, this has definitely been the most stressful time of my life, and not trading it for anything, but definitely need a bit of a break from that. And you know, thankfully, trying to take care of the health—that's kind of the lasting thing that my my health is, you know, important. And I'm trying to sleep more this year. Trying to, you know, obviously do the neti pot thing and just try to take care of myself, do a little bit of working out and everything. But it would be great if you could start skating again. I'm just saying, it starts getting warmer. You know, it's a good exercise. It's been a few weeks since I've skated, just because it's been so cold here. I just don't like skating in the cold. But when it comes to spring, I hope you'll get out there and just cruise around again. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, there's a couple of skate parks that are either new or newly rebuilt in the last year or so that I want to visit. Like, there's Pensauken, which is up by where I used to work before we moved down here. And I skated the old version, and it was fun, but it was just, the stuff was sparse, everything was far away, and I mostly just did laps and did a couple airs.
Sure.
But the new one that they built in its place looks really, really good. Mike Falcone and his family have gone there a couple times, and we want to try to set a trip up to go down there. And then there's also, is it Quakertown? Yeah, Quakertown, PA has a really nice looking park that I want to skate to. But it's just, I mean, trying to find the time let me rephrase that. It's not that there's not the time, it's that I feel guilty taking time away from the house
right,
to do stuff like that, when I could incorporate other hobbies with the kids or even with everybody and do that. So it's weird. It's difficult. If they didn't tear down the fucking skate park at work, I could be skating that every day at lunch.
Yeah, I mean, I feel you. Didn't your older kid skate for a little bit, or is she not into it now?
A little bit, yeah. She's more into scooters at the moment, which is fine. Like, I'm not going to bitch about it anymore. We got for Christmas last year, she got a new scooter, like a better built than just like the folding Razor ones.
Sure.
And she brought it over to the neighbor's house and they ran it over on
accident. No way.
Yeah, but it was 50-50 at fault, because you know, she left it behind her car and then the driver didn't see it, so she plonked. It's like, oh, shit. All right. So we got her the same model, but a different color.
Cool.
So she's got that, and I think I'm going to try to drag her out to the skate park one of these days.
Yeah. I think she'd like it, especially if there's like a pump tracky sort of cruising around bowl sort of place.
Yeah.
Helmet, for sure. I mean.
Absolutely, yeah. She's not allowed on her electric scooter without a helmet.
Yeah, so. I think it's, you know, getting that habit ingrained in you early. you know, she'll never not wear one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've watched too many things on what is that? Wicked Wrecks or Wicked Fails or Falls or something like that. I've seen too many people smash their heads, and I'm just like, ugh. I've done that once, and I don't want anyone that I know to do that shit again. That doesn't look, it's not fun.
No, it's not fun at all.
And I mean, even mine was just like, I just bonked it, you know, thank God I didn't have a TBI or anything like that. And we know too many people that have had that.
Yeah.
That I don't want to idly be by and not be like, hey, put your fucking helmet on.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And again, if she doesn't know any different, she doesn't know any different. Like all the kids in my neighborhood wear helmets when they're skating, when they're running the scooters. It's like, that's just a thing that they do. Yeah. And when they grow up, if they ride their bike, if they rollerblade, if they whatever, they'll probably wear a helmet because it's just a thing that they do.
Agreed. Good habits.
Yes,
good habits.
Absolutely. So I was hoping for today, since it's been a minute, we could talk about a little bit of a, not, you know, in years past, we've had guests on to talk about what happened in the year. And, you know, we, because we did so many shows, we were recording the notes, and I was able to go through and really just pick out every single thing that every brand did. And, you know, this year, it felt like it was very quiet. You know,
it was.
In comparison to years past, definitely, you know, peak COVID 2021, 2022, when things were just flying off the shelves, there were new product announcements every couple of weeks.
Yep.
And sometimes from the same companies.
Yeah.
And and that era is over. You know, I don't think that we've had that many announcements from companies this year in 2023, I should say. You know, there are a few brands that might have had, you know, multiple versions that came out, but it wasn't the biggest year. So I was thinking that it might be nice to go through, like, some of the brands that kind of stood out in your head. You know, this isn't like a tier list or anything like that. If you know, you're looking a full review of what happened in the year, I'm sure you'll find a better show for that. But just the things that, you know, were top of mind for me, thinking back, and top of mind for you, Ben. I think starting with brands would be really nice. You know, if we limit it to skates, I think doing skate brands, we could extend a bit to the riders as well. So maybe talk about some of the skates that came out, some of the riders and things that they did this year, and then maybe what, you know, not really predictions, but what sort of stuff they have planned for 2024. Because I think some of the things are already fairly known, or maybe challenges that they might have, things we're excited about this year. You know, there's a few brands that have already announced some changes for 2024, which I think is going to be a bit of a shock to the industry. I mean, we'll see. But it's going to be an interesting year. And I don't think we've had a year like this before. There's a lot of skaters. You know, I'm seeing a lot of people coming back on, you know, rollerblading the last couple of months. And I don't know if it was, you know, sparked by the Barbie movie, and, you know, it may be finally hitting video and, like, them watching it at home with their kids or something like that. I don't remember any cultural shift. You know, COVID was a big deal, and that kind of got people looking to exercise. And they would go back to their roots. And it's like, well, I can't go to the gym, and I can't go to, you know, a place where a lot of people are. What could I do? And a lot of people came back during COVID thinking, you know, I used to rollerblade. Why don't I do that? And I could get, you know, a little practice rail and set it up in my garage and just skate again. And that was amazing. You know, it was amazing for the industry. It was amazing for the people who came back. A lot of those people stuck around and they're still skating now. We had another slight boom when Barbie came out, I think. And I don't know if it was because of that. Yeah, I don't know. But I'm seeing a lot of people, even today, you know, I'm seeing people saying, hey, I just got back looking for some skates. I've done research on this and this, and I'm looking to get this. What do you think? Super interesting. Because I don't remember that happening in bulk. you know, there would be the one random person every couple of weeks, but it feels like every couple of days now, if not more than once a day. You know, there was a peak time where there were multiple people per day posting on Facebook. And the posts, it's hilarious. Like back in COVID times was, well, before COVID times, it was like the one person who would come back and say something and then, you know, usually get shut down pretty quickly because, you know, they were kind of, we were kind of jerks back then. And I kind of, I don't know that I got shut down, but definitely wasn't as welcoming as it was during COVID. COVID times was familiar names coming back as well. And I think that changed it. You know, we had old pros coming back. We had skaters that you would recognize coming back. We had people who skated with the crews coming back. And it's just like everybody came back and everybody was happy as a kumbaya sort of moment, right?
Yeah.
But it was very much, hey, you know, I haven't skated in a while. What's going on? You know, how are things? I used to skate with this group, whatever. Now it feels like, and this might come out derogatory, but it feels like it's kind of like your uncle on Facebook that's come back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Like you're getting these posts where it's like, hey, does anyone remember? Yeah, but it's like the, it's the uncle version of that. It's like, does anybody remember Louis Zamora? What's up with Louis Zamora now? Oh, I used to love that guy. And yeah, it's like, what are you doing, dude? Like, or who's Arlo? Does anyone remember Arlo? And it's like these weird, like, I don't know, like people at your 50th high school reunion conversations, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't remember this vibe, but it's just, it's a pretty funny vibe. And you could see the regulars making fun of it and everything. And it's, you know, it's fun to poke fun. But it is definitely an influx. And, you know, I do hope that they stick around. The timing sucks, of course, because, you know, like most of us, it's pretty cold and wet right now.
Yeah.
And the ability to skate is pretty tough. But I do hope that they stick around for spring because, you know, it would be great to go into spring with some new models of skates, with, you know, full head of steam, get a good summer out there, especially if school is off and, you know, they can go skate without their kids, you know, in tow or whatever. I think it could be a really big year, especially as we had a bit of a flood of product over the last couple of years. You know, I think we talked about this on older shows. There were a lot of shops and a lot of brands that miscalculated the COVID boom and continued to produce skates at a level that wasn't sustainable. And it resulted in thousands of skates in the sales channels, either in warehouses or in shops that they just couldn't sell. So you're starting to see a lot of deep discounts, and you've seen discounts for, what, 6 months now or so?
Yeah.
You know, it was like the Black Friday sale that just kept going.
Some people still have their websites marked as Black Friday pricing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's probably just to move the stock that they haven't been able to get rid of from summer that they overbought, you know, spring or summer.
Yeah.
But it's great for the people coming back because they don't care. You know, they don't care that the Sways that they're purchasing are 2 years old or, you know, the Majestic 12s are old or whatever. It's like, hey, this is a great deal on some skates. And it's like, cool, I'll go get the skates. I don't need the latest and greatest. I just need some skates.
Yeah. When I came back, it was like that. Like, there was a ton of old product that was still out there. Like, the Majestic 12, mm-hmm. before they did the full, like, cut the cuff down and everything like that and basically did the follows, you could get those for $150.
Oh, wow.
All the time. It was wild. And, you know, Razors had, you know, three lines that were available at any given point in time, mm-hmm. you know, at every skate shop. Well, Roller Warehouse and E-Rolling and... there was another one that I, AMOL, back when AMOL was still a thing. So, like, all those shops had a ton of inventory that was available, and you could either buy, like, brand new shit that came out, or you could get a couple years old model. If they still had it in your size, you could get it for under $200, easy.
Yeah.
And then that went away, as we were talking about, shortly after COVID, and it's coming back again. So it is a great time for the consumer, mm-hmm. not so much for the folks running shops.
Yeah, I mean, at least they're clearing out of their inventory. That's the positive of it. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be... it's weird. It's such a difficult industry to predict, you know? Like, absolutely. You don't know what the demand is going to be for aggressive skates. I think they can pretty well, like, other sports. I might be wrong. I mean, maybe skateboarding is going through it, too. I did hear that quad skating was going through it pretty heavy, where they didn't have this recent boom. They had a really big, strong build-up during COVID, and then they had this huge, like, aggressive quad or modern quad or whatever they call it. And there's a lot of interest in that, and I think there's a lot of people super, you know, passionate about this style of quad skating. You know, I see them all the time and I talk with them. They're in it. But I don't know that the numbers are coming on, like, growing as well as it used to. And it's just quad skating has been around longer than rollerblading, of course, in some form or fashion. But I don't know that they have the history, at least in this style of skating yet, to really predict what the future is. I mean, similarly to scooter, I guess, where there's always the kids that are going to need a scooter and just get around town. But like trick scooters, where you buy the more expensive ones that have the decked out, you know, wheels and decks and handlebars or whatever this, I don't know, scooter stuff, but yeah. You know, I'm sure
whatever
they,
that stuff is.
I'm sure they make very expensive scooters, and I would imagine that world is probably getting shook up right now as well. I have not seen, you know, I haven't been to skate parks very often, but I have been, you know, November, September, like when I went and visited Clark and Sam and Chris and all the guys up at Maryland. Was that November or whenever that was?
I went
to the skate park. I think we saw a couple scooter kids, but it was predominantly skateboarders, and, you know, we were the only inliners. We're kind of used to being the only inliners. But it was not the flood of scooters that I was used to. You know, typically you see a ton of scooter kids, and you don't see that very much at skate park right now. You know, there's a lot of passionate kids who are skateboarding. I don't know that scootering has that thing, and I didn't see any quad skaters. So it's going to be interesting. I do think that, you know, the influx of skaters coming back is going to help shops clear out of inventory. Really curious what the industry is going to be like this year. You know, coming up on 2023, it was a little slow. How is 2024 going to be, you know? First off, I wanted to talk a little bit about Rossi's. So Rossi's, you know,
that's
has had, it has had a very storied history in rollerblading. You know, they were the original manufacturer of the rollerblade skates, the TRS, way back in the days, like the 80s. They were the ones that kind of, without Rossi's, they wouldn't have the high-quality skates that rollerblade eventually turned into. You know, I think Rossi's deserves a ton of credit for being that manufacturer for them. The years have been fairly consistent for Rossi's. You know, they got really big back in the 90s with the Fifth Element, and, you know, then they just continued to produce skates, and, you know, they've been big, and then they had, you know, Volo, and Volo was huge, and, you know, it was the main, like, core brand in rollerblading, and, you know, John built this, you know, marketing machine and everything. And then, you know, John split off and did them, and Rossi's is, you know, rebuilding themselves and kind of, you know, built up a really killer team. You know, they came out with a new Fifth Element and all that. Last couple of years, you know, I think we've seen a ton of variety of Rossi's skates come out. Seems like, you know, every other month there's a new colorway of a Rossi's skate. Less so in 2023, but definitely in, you know, 2020, 2021, 2022, there were new colors every, you know, couple of weeks.
There's a lot.
And then, you know, sadly, last year we started hearing rumblings that they were for sale. And
they tried to deny it.
Yeah, we got a few denials on social media, and I don't know that that was all the facts. You know, I don't know that it was a known, like, denial, or if it was just, I'm ignorant of this and then I don't comment on rumors, that sort of thing. Yeah. Like, if they were negotiating due to debt, then maybe they were not telling everybody what was going on. But when was it? End of December, I guess. They were purchased by a private equity firm. This firm specializes in ski stuff as well as sports like outerwear and clothing and stuff like that. Not really sure what the future of Rosie's looks like, you know. I'm optimistic that they'll stick around, but I don't know. I don't know how much. Like, you know, the weird stuff that they've been able to do, like, you know, the Bobby Spazov, that the first domestic punk one, which was, you know, a real crazy looking skate for the times, like wild colors, a lot of gold. What other color was it? Like purple and gold and
yeah, there's a lot of weirdness in it.
Yeah, I gotta find this now. Bobby domestic. Yeah, so it was like a lilac sort of boot with a white frame, a red liner with a gold cuff buckle and cuff bolt. Really crazy. Like, are they going to be able to do stuff like that now? You know, like in the promo shots, the new owner or the new CEO or whatever was holding the Ilya skate, which is this watermelon looking red and green. Yeah. Like, and it's like, is that really what you're going to go after? Like, you know, I don't know. What do you think? Like, what do you think Rosie's is going to be like in 2024?
I think we'll see a return to a little more simple stuff, like more blacks, whites, grays,
mm-hmm.
you know, something maybe like the Nils might be the craziest they do for a couple years. And then as they start to see that people will buy this stuff, maybe then they'll start looking into sillier colors and stuff like that again. Unless they're like, you know what? It would surprise me if they're like, you know what? We love what you guys are doing. Keep doing what you're doing. As long as you're in the black, that's the important part.
Yeah. Like, I wonder, they obviously bought the brand for some purpose. It wasn't making as much money as it needed to, and it probably had debt, which is why it isn't, like, is why it had to sell in the first place, yeah. Right? So what does this private equity firm see in Rosie's that
is worth their time and money?
Yeah, worth their time and money, right. Yeah. Like, what are they going to do? Distribution might be a thing. Like, maybe they're using it to get in, you know, if they're already distributing ski stuff, maybe they can distribute through the Rosie's channels, and then maybe they could distribute Rosie's skates to the ski stuff. You know, I know Rollerblade has done the skate-to-ski program for many years. That yeah. could be a thing, but that seems a little too detailed, right? Like, that's something that they really know. Like, they have these oddball plans for what to do with Rosie's. It's, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds of that. This is the brand that I'm really going to keep my eye on this year and just see what changes are there to Rosie's. You know, is the team going to be impacted? Like, they've got some great skaters.
They really do.
Are they going to stay on the team? Are they going to continue to make a salary if they are now? Like, are they going to continue to get pro skates where they get royalties? Like, I don't know. I'm really fascinated in that.
Who knows? Maybe, I don't know. I hope so. I mean, Rosie's has been around since day one, mm-hmm. essentially.
Yeah.
And it would,
day zero be a, even, right?
Yeah. It'd be a real bummer for them to go away. And I mean, even if they just fade into the background for a little while and still put out, you know, 1,000 pair of black, 1,000 pair of whites.
Yeah.
You know, for the year, who knows? We'll see. I hope that's not the case, but I might know a guy that is willing to take their spot if necessary.
Well, and I do think that there was a time, and that time might have been last year, where there were so many skate brands that the industry was very diluted. There were a lot of different options out there. And I don't know. I mean, I think options are good. The pie isn't getting much bigger, though. And at some point, there's going to be not enough skaters to sustain all of the brands. And, you know, maybe that time was 2023. You know, I don't know. I don't know Rosie's is financial, obviously. The fact that they were likely in debt and a lot of debt. You know, I think they were sold for what, 3.1 million or something like that?
I think so, yeah.
I would imagine that they've got millions in debt then. You know, like that's got to be on their head. And the reason why they were sold at such a small price. Because, you know, again, not knowing anything about their financials, you got to assume that they're worth more than that.
I would assume just so,
the,
yeah.
The property, like they own the building or whatever that they have out in Italy. Yeah, I don't know. Fascinating, though. I don't know that we've had anything like this before. I mean, maybe, like, not with a core company, at least. You know, Bauer, I guess, was purchased by Nike, right? So that kind of changed, you know, their future. But that was, you know, I don't know that Bauer was really that part of it. And then, you know, Salomon kind of folding up shop, I guess. But we haven't had a lot of skate companies, like, change ownership or, you know, stop producing skates. Like, there's been a handful, but this could be a really big one. My prediction, my honest prediction, is they continue to do the basics, you know, at least for this year. Maybe not a ton of change. Maybe the things that are already planned for the pipeline are going to be made. Maybe we have a few pro skates that come out in summer. And like you said, just continue with black and white. I don't know how big they are in recreational. I know they make a lot of recreational skates, you know, outside of the
1996.
Yeah, whatever it is.
That one.
Yeah, outside of that skate, you know, they do make recreational skates. So I would imagine that they'll continue to make those. But yeah, I think the time that they try crazy colorways and stuff might be over.
Yeah, I mean, it's very possible, but they have quite a big line of stuff that they make. Like, they have, you know, our aggressive skates, they have regular inlines, they have skateboards and ski boots and stuff, and I'm sure they're really popular in Europe. We'll see. We'll see. I hope that they're not going to go away.
Yeah.
So one thing I listened to, so to kind of shift to a different brand, I listened to the newest Jump Street with Sean Kelso.
Okay, yeah, I heard that on the way up. Yeah, yeah. It was a good one.
Sean sounds amazing. Like, he sounds so much happier, so much healthier. I'm really glad that sobriety is going well for him. Because he posted something on Instagram, and I replied to it and sent him a message. Hey, man, I'm real proud of your sobriety. You know, I'm glad that you're taking charge of it. And, you know, we had like a little back and forth, and it was really awesome.
Nice.
And so I sent him a message tonight. I was like, hey, man, you sound really awesome. You know, really happy for you. Glad that everything's going. Promo was fucking killer.
Yeah.
It really was. I watched that while I was waiting to get connected. And that was great. Colin's new section was great.
Yeah.
And it was just, I've completely changed my mind on Sean Kelso.
Yeah.
For so long, like, his whole like zombie head thing would bother me. And I don't know if like, I don't know if that they've changed some of the angles they've been doing with some of his landings or what, or maybe he's just doing it less or just doesn't bother me as much. But like, he's really fucking good.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's amazing. Without a doubt, I think the big skate for the year was the Base Them. I think, you know, it's a 909, which is fine. It did come in two new versions, you know, two new sizes, which, you know, a solid size 9 and a solid size 7. The in-between sizes. I wasn't aware. So this is something that, you know, I've been obviously very intimate with lately, but I wasn't aware that those shell breaks were so far apart. You know, it's a big gap between the medium and the large them skates.
Yeah. And that was why I didn't do the mediums.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And it totally makes sense now.
Yeah, because the smalls were just like just the tiniest bit too narrow and I could make them work lengthwise.
Exactly.
But I was always worried. Like, I think I mentioned once or twice, like, hey, maybe I can try your mediums. And it just never happened. And I'm not interested anymore anyway.
Yeah. Well, so, and that's the thing. If I barely fit the mediums, you would be swimming in the mediums.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So I'm glad that I didn't push for that. But yeah. Like, The Base Them looks really good. It's such a great looking boot. I'm tempted to try to see if I can get my hands on some of those liners, but I really don't need them. But like, I'm into crazy colored sneakers now, and I have these crazy lime green Asics that we bought for a Disney trip.
Oh, nice! Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which still, like, it was awesome. Like, I demanded. I was like, I have to go and find Law's brand. If I don't do that, this entire trip is wasted.
There you go.
And so,
priorities.
Yeah. So I went and found it, and it was great. And yeah. And so because of that trip, I was like, you know what? I'm sick of boring sneakers. I need something exciting, and I need something comfortable for Disney. And they worked perfect. It was great. And I wear them all the time at work, and people are like, God, I can always tell when you're coming. I was like, I'm tired of those sneakers. Because that's all I would buy. Like, the Air Maxes I bought, you know, before I started there were gray. The Adidas that I bought, you know, after that were gray. And I'm just like, I'm done with it. I can't wait to find a hot pink pair of sneakers, because that's what I'm going to next. I don't know what they're going to be yet, but I'm way into crazy colored sneakers. So that's why I'm really into those liners.
Yeah.
But again, like, I don't need them. Like, if I skated every day and I could justify spending the money on a new pair of liners, then I would do it. But I just don't. And it's just, I don't need them.
I think that's one of the concerns that I heard about that skate, is that I've already got intuitions. Why do I need another pair? And they're expensive liners. They're great liners.
Yes.
I came to the realization that there's a lot of intuitions out there, you know, and they're all very different. So I have a pair of the FR intuitions. They are extremely different than any other intuition out there. They're taller, they're tougher, like they're more rigid. They might even be a little bit more padded, like thicker. That's not what I wanted in an intuition. You know, like, when you think of intuitions, you usually think of performance, you think of responsiveness, you think of thinness, you know, downsizing and everything.
Yeah.
That's not these liners. These liners are just performance. And I came to the realization that it's probably, you know, a lot of people are, you know, shell only is a thing. And a lot of people have liners that they want to move around from skate to skate to skate. And if you find, and I promote this, you know, if you find a liner that you like, let's not, you know, fill a landfill of, you know, extra liners that nobody wants. Like, stock liners are great sometimes, but if you've already got liners, save your money. Don't, you know, buy things that you're not going to use and throw them in the closet or throw them in the trash or throw them on the Blade Trade or whatever, right?
For sure.
The exception is, I feel, if you're getting a Them Skate and you want intuitions, get the Them Intuitions.
Yeah.
They are designed for the skate. So when you slide your foot into that liner, it is almost as close as having an integrated liner, like in a USD Carbon or an Adapt Brutale or something similar.
Yeah.
The liner is designed for the skate, which means, you know, one of the issues that you run into with third-party liners or aftermarket liners in a, you know, a shell is, if they're not made for that shell, you might move around a little bit inside the shell. And there's nothing worse than the feeling of your foot lifting up inside of the boot before you jump or before you stride. Like, it needs to be responsive. You pick up your foot, that skate should come up with it.
Agreed.
And I think that there is something to be said, if you have V2 intuitions, if you have premium intuitions or whatever, get yourself a pair of Them Skates. That if you are getting yourself a pair of 909s, get yourself a pair that has the intuitions, because those are the best intuitions for that shell.
Yeah.
And that is a distinction. You know, the intuitions are intuitions are intuitions argument, totally value. If you've got intuitions that you like and you've broken them in, wear them wherever you want. They're expensive liners. You should get the most use out of them as you can. But there's also an argument that you should buy the liners that come with the skates if they are quality liners, because they're designed for the skates and they're going to work best in those skates.
Agreed. I agree 100%. Because I found, like, the Them Intuitions that I have that I got from you don't fit very great in SLs. The work absolutely did not work in the small 909s. V2s almost worked in 909s, and V2s worked pretty good in SLs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very interested to see how my them intuitions are going to fit in the Omnis. I think they're going to be good. I think I'm going to be just fine in them, because the liners that you had at Grindsgiving, mm-hmm. those were fairly voluminous, right?
Jeez, I don't remember that far back. Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Probably. I think, if I remember correctly, the ones that I had at the Grindsgiving were the samples that we based our liner on, our comfort liner. Few changes, okay. But that was pretty close. And yeah, our stock liners do have a bit of volume around the cuff area, but it's fairly thin elsewhere. The intuitions, okay. What I love about them is it's fairly consistent. So it's the same thickness around most of it. There are some that have that big padding around the ankle area,
yeah,
but some of them don't. And those are the intuitions personally that I prefer.
Yeah, I really did like the V2s. But it just didn't seem to make a lot of sense for me to have V2s and them intuitions. So
right.
I stuck with the thems. I don't know if you heard that, but that was my hip that just popped.
Oh, no, goodness. Must feel good now.
Yeah, it's better. But yeah, so on the Jump Street podcast,
mm-hmm.
they were talking about those Sebas.
Yeah.
Wild. Still so wild. And like, it made sense to me that maybe somehow this guy, apparently it was a guy in China.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that he was able to get his hands on base them intuitions from the factory and stuffed them into some Sebas that he had custom made, like custom painted kind of thing from Seba. 'Cause you can do that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people forget that you can do that. It's extremely expensive, but you can do it.
Yeah, I think they have. Don't they have a customizer
just like
PowerSlide does? I thought they did.
Yeah, they do. It's a really weird process, though. Like you build it up the way you want it, and then you send an email to I think the guy that replied to me. I think his name was Sam.
Hmm.
Sam or Steve is an S name. I remember that much. And he said that he loved the podcast when I sent the email. He was like $670.
Oh, wow.
For the gold ones that I wanted. And I was like, hard pass.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're trying to get a custom color, I think that makes sense, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It would. Ooh. We'll come to that later.
All right. So yeah, the Jump Street podcast was great. You know, if you haven't listened, they've done a great job this year. It's been the consistency that we've needed. You know, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, not skating related podcasts. I absorb so much skating already.
Yeah.
I try to take a break just so that I don't get overwhelmed with it. But you know, huge shout out to the Jump Street guys for keeping it, you know, going, keeping it steady. They've got
keeping a consistent.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah. They've got a consistent show. And we needed that, you know? We don't have Daily Bread coming out every couple of months. We don't have, you know, websites being updated all the time, you know, with new content or things like that. Like, social media has changed all of that. But it's really nice to have, like, the document of reference, you know? And that's Jump Street. Like, you know, everybody listens to Jump Street. You know, it's a consistent show. It covers the topics. It interviews the skaters that you need to know about. Like, if the skater is on Jump Street, it's like them getting a profile in Daily Bread.
Pretty much.
That is, you know, the current, like, version of it. And I love that, you know? They've worked really hard to build that. So if you aren't already listening, definitely listen. They're much more consistent than we are. It was great to hear Sean on there. I've never met Sean. I met Colin briefly, and I think I called him Sean because I just don't know either of them, but I know, yeah. You know, the two of them. Both of those guys, killer year. Like,
yeah.
They just crushed it. Really, I think Joey and the mushroom blading end of year called them the employees of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, they were out there working so hard for them. And add to that, you know, they did a basement drop, you know, they did the basement dead wheels, you know, in the multicolors. Sean did the Create Originals frame. Like, you've got four products that he personally had his hand in. And Colin, absolutely, he was involved with most of them as well. That's a big year, man. That's a big year for two guys.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. They did a lot of really great stuff. It was really awesome hearing Sean still be excited to go out and get clips and stuff like that. So it was, I really love hearing that, and I'm really excited for them. I can't wait to see the new stuff that they're going to do. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm excited for it.
That's what's so great about it is, and I think, you know, Billy mentioned it, like, he can already do everything. How do you find inspiration to do new things? And it's like, it's just freestyle, right? He just goes out there and does what feels right.
Yeah.
And it's like, then the trick for him is both of them, they have, you know, their filmers with them. So they watch the footage and they're like, there's something there. I'm going to try it like this. Or there's something there. I'm going to try this trick, but with that. And it's like, oh, I can build this. And it's like, geez, man. Like an artist, you know?
Yeah.
Like something to be said about keyboard. Yeah, a musician, right?
So good. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's something to be said about being able to skate with your brother for 20 plus years.
And he'll call bullshit, I'm sure. Like both of them, right? Like if you're doing something that, you know, does not look good, there's no chance you're going to get by either of them. Like they won't let that happen.
Not at all. Yeah. I'm sure they bust chops all the time.
No doubt.
I mean, if it's anything like my brother and sister are, like, we constantly talk shit, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to keep yourselves in check. There's rules.
Oh, absolutely. There's rules in this shit. So, something, I don't know if these guys are on your radar, but there's a new skate brand out of Colombia.
There are a few new skate brands. What is the one out of Colombia? What's that one called?
I've seen
some crazy prototypes.
Yeah, Aero Roller Works.
That's the one.
Yeah, those things look really neat. So I reached out to the guy and just said, "Hey, like, when I first started following, I reached out and said, hey, skate looks awesome. You know, I wish you nothing but luck. You know, congratulations. I'm glad that you're able to make that happen." Mm-hmm. And so I reached out to him after. One of the French brothers, Mike French, posted a couple clips of him and some in a pair that he got, and he got some really cool ones. So him and I are very similar in the sense that we like gold skates because his had all these crazy gold accents on them. And so I said, hey, you know, I was curious as to what the shipping or what the cost with shipping would be. And he said, the skates have a value of $512 without shipping, and shipping is between $100 and $150 depending upon, you know, how quick you want them.
Right.
I was like, that's not that bad. Mm-hmm. But then I was just like, I mean, I'll spend half that on my Omnis. I don't need to spend $500 on some interesting looking skates.
They are carbons, right?
They are carbons. Yeah. The carbons are handmade and everything like that. And, you know, Mike French said a lot of really great things about them. He said they're super comfortable, they're super flexible, despite being all carbon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, they slide really nice. And I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But again, I don't need to spend $512 on skates that I just really don't need, especially when I'm going to be getting Omnis at some point.
Yeah.
But it's a really cool looking skate though. I really like what they've done with that. What are some of the other, you said there was a bunch of other brands too. What haven't I seen?
So, you know, there's that one that has the pigeon that I think is an offshoot of Anarchy.
Oh, that's using that old Anarchy shell?
No, it's a new shell, I think. I don't know a ton about it, to be honest. I don't know how to even search for this.
Okay.
Let me see. RCHY. See if I can search in the Slack. Oh, there it is. Gotta love the Slack. It's called Echo. ECHO. So Echo Skates Official is the Instagram.
Okay, let's take a look.
I will text it to you. Perfect. There's not much information yet. They are launching at Winter Clash. That is the speculation.
Interesting. Let's see. How are we going to speculate on this?
Yeah, so I saw a post. God, let me see if I could do the Facebook search for Echo Skate posts.
This is bullshit. They expect us to wait 41 days to find out about this?
The curiosity for me is, you know, Anarchy is one of the
brand.
Cheaper brands in the industry. Yeah, it's not really something that I ever even comes up in conversation. They are well known as one of the skates that was the original 908 mold. Yeah. And used that mold with a sole plate and frame to sell a really cheap skate. So they use open molds to make skates, and they sell to, you know, mass market, you know, sports stores. Yeah. Primarily in Europe, I think, but I bet you could find them outside of Europe. The interesting thing about Echo, that limited knowledge that I have, is that they're trying to do something with a brand new mold. So this is something designed for aggressive skating that is a brand new mold. They must see that there is interest. Yeah. Otherwise, why would they invest in a brand new mold? You know, if the open source mold or the open mold is going well for them, why would they spend, you know, $100,000 working on a brand new mold? Doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Unless they know their demand is high. Yeah,
or high enough to at least cover what they're spending.
Exactly. If they can save money and do a differentiated product that's better at a slightly higher price but using their distribution, could be something, you know? And as a competitor, like as a new brand in the industry, obviously, you know, more brands, not great for, you know, me trying to start a skate company, but... I don't think that we would be competing with them head to head. Like, their market is very similar to Rollerblade and K2's market, where they're selling to these big box stores that just want skate.
Yeah.
And, you know,
they're not concerned with what it is.
Exactly.
It just needs to have four wheels and roll.
Yeah. Give me 10 of each side of aggressive skate, please.
Yeah.
And it's like, here you go. So if they can make something that's of higher quality than the crap that they were shipping, and they can get into markets that kids might want to skate and kids might have access to, that could be a good thing. Like, I see the positive here.
Yeah, I agree. The children of the future, if the movie Coming to America taught me anything, was that not funny? Have you not seen Coming to America?
Of course I have. But I don't know that, isn't that a Michael Jackson song, though?
I think it was a Michael Jackson song.
It was like they were covering it. Chocolate. What's the name?
Sexual Chocolate.
Sexual Chocolate. Yeah, I was covering it.
Oh God!
Sexual Chocolate. He's
got it. Just drops a mic and walks away.
So good.
Yeah, I agree. So if those can get into, you know, Big Five Sports, Dick's Sporting Goods, Walmart, even, you know, a kid sees those and be like, those look fun. I would like to have a pair of those. And then some parents like, cool, let's get them. Do they have their size? Awesome. Let's make it happen. And there's just more kids, you know, hopefully fall in love with it. And then they'll realize, hey, these are okay, but these are better.
Yep.
So it's just going to be better for everybody. So I don't see it as a bad thing. And I think your thought process there with that distribution model, I think that's going to be, I think that's highly possible, and I think that's going to be a good thing for them.
Yeah, I agree. I think so it kind of segues nicely into the USD glitch. Did you see the glitch?
Yes, and I saw the grown-ass men bitching and complaining about the colors. It's like, they're not for you, buddy.
They're not for you.
Yeah.
I think that there is... You know, I was driving around my neighborhood a couple days ago, even yesterday maybe, and there are three kids on skates skating up the street. And I think one of them already had skates, two of them got them for Christmas. It was not a thing that you would see back when I got back into it in 2017.
Yeah.
2018, true. 2019, 2020. Like, it wasn't until COVID that kids started getting skates just as we were getting skates.
Yeah.
And then now, again, Barbie, I think is making it just a thing. It's just a thing that people know about. You know, there was, what was that? There was a celebrity that's, was it Frankie Muniz, I think, who posted on the Instagram, whatever happened to rollerblades? Do you remember that? Am I making that up?
I feel like I did see that. I don't know if it was Frankie Muniz, though.
I don't know whatever happened. I was never going to be able to Google it. But there was a celebrity. There was a celebrity that said, what the heck happened to rollerblading? And
we're still here, bitch.
Yeah, I feel like it's not even a thing now where it's back. It's not popular, but yeah, people are aware of it. You know, they've seen it. It's in pop culture. It's, you know, something that, you know, you see kids do. You can find them at Target. Like, it's not this weird lost 90s trend. It's just a thing. Yeah. And it's not a super popular thing, but it is a thing. And I feel like that's going to continue to grow. And again, getting into big box stores will be one of the pathways that we take to make rollerblading more accessible to more markets. I do think the kid section, always a difficult one, because as a parent, you know, we're looking at price.
Yeah.
We're looking at how quickly are they going to grow out of this? Not just from a literal, my foot is too big for these skates, but from a,
when is the interest going to go away?
Exactly. We bought my daughter a nice bicycle beginning of the year, and now she has a car.
Yeah.
And she doesn't ride her bike anymore, because why would she?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not saying that these kids are getting cars anytime soon, but they're going to get scooters. They're going to get iPads. They're going to get, you know, bikes or whatever. Yeah. How long is the interest, and how much does a parent want to invest in skating? So these cheap skates that you get from Amazon or you get from, you know, your local big box store definitely have a market. What I found really interesting is you see a lot of people recommending the Cultic kids skates on like rollerblading or whatever.
Yeah.
Probably because they don't have any other options. They don't know of any other skates out there, but they're like, hey, this is a skate. It has, you know, skates for kids, and it's adjustable, and it can do aggressive stuff. So buy it. Yeah. Rollerblade has, you know, made kid skates forever. Rosie's made kid skates forever. I don't think Rollerblade made that kid skates. They had the adjustable New Jack, but I don't think they make those anymore.
No.
Razors makes an adjustable Genesis, the Genesis Junior, and then USD had the Transformer. And those were the two, like, adjustable, aggressive skates. The Transformer always looked really buckled to me.
Yeah, like, it always looked weird to me, too.
Yeah, not the sort of skate that you would want to buy and skate. It just looked weird. Like, it just boxy and just, like, it didn't look like a fun skate.
I agree.
But the Glitch looks awesome. So, this is a new skate. What were you going to say?
I was going to say I agree as well.
All right. There you go. I'm glad we can agree on this, even though fully agree that it is not for us.
No.
It is a $200 skate. So that's pretty high, if you ask me, for a kid's skate. $200 skate. It is an adjustable skate. It is awesome colors. It is a non-UFS, it's a sole frame. So the sole frame mounts directly to the adjustable boot. And then it is four 58mm wheels, I think. I think it's 58s, isn't it? Might be 58s. Yeah, it's 58s.
Yeah, the smaller ones are 58s and the bigger ones are
61. Quote
unquote 61s.
Yeah, which who knows what that really is. Maybe it is 61, who knows. But there are... It looks like it's a two-point mounting. It doesn't say it's UFS, so it's probably just a two-point mounting system with the sole frame, integrated sole frame. But it's amazing. Like, if my kid were looking to get into aggressive and were already skating and didn't fit, you know, they size all the way up to a 38, didn't fit the extra small them or, you know, Rosie's or whatever else makes a super small skate.
Yeah.
This would be a viable option, you know? Mm-hmm. I do wish that they made one that wasn't so crazy colors. I think that the crazy colors are awesome to look at, but maybe might not be for that individual skater.
Yeah.
Doing one in just, you know, a white would be fine. Doing one in just a black or a gray would be fine. This is, you know, multiple colors. It's a white frame with blue wheels, a teal heel cup, yellow boot shell area, purple cuff,
yeah,
and then a
multicolored TV.
Multicolored, yeah, exactly. Multicolored liner. But it feels like it's a legit skate. It feels like the sort of thing that if your kid were interested in getting into aggressive, this is the best option. And I'll just say it. I think this is the best option if somebody is, you know, small foot, you know, growing up interested in aggressive. Why would you get anything else? Like, kills the Genesis Junior, kills the Transformer. Is it more expensive? How much is a Transformer? Let me check real quick.
I think they're close to 200.
They are 200. And then the Genesis Junior is Genesis Junior is 179. But it's a flat setup versus Anti-Rocker setup versus flat. The glitch is flat, and the Transformer is Anti-Rocker as well.
Yeah.
So, but for the same price as the Transformer, get the glitch. This is a cool looking skate. You know, if your kid likes it, I would be. So it starts at a size 31, and then it goes up to a 34. So it covers four shell sizes, which means that it probably moves a total of 20 centimeters. So at the low end, you probably adjust 20 centimeters down, and then it's probably got an integrated cuff that can, you know, grow a total of 20 centimeters. And then the way adjustable skates usually work is you unscrew the bottom and they have some sort of a multi-hole system, and you slide the toe area out, making the skate longer. And then you put the sole frame back on and you screw it in, and then it sandwiches it in to that set length.
Yeah,
so the max is, you know, 20 centimeters taller or longer. I think it looks great, though. Again, functionality-wise, it's awesome. It looks like a killer sole plate. Nice flat frame with a good groove, good Royale groove. Like, it looks like it was very purpose-built. I'm a huge fan. I do wish the price were a little lower, but I don't know that you can make this skate for cheaper, you know?
I would agree. It seems like it would be difficult to do. And it's brand new. So mm-hmm. I would imagine that if it's not a brand new entire skate, it's at least the new sole frame and all that.
Sure.
So I imagine after like a line or two, we might see a slight price reduction. But I mean, you get what you pay for. You get your kid cheap skates, they're going to be uncomfortable, they're going to suck, they're not going to want to do it. So I see it is a good idea to spend a little bit more and get something that's going to be more comfortable and more, you know, something that's not going to be like, I don't want to do it, those hurt my feet.
Right.
Which is why I've always said, like, anytime we're like, hey, let's take a trip into New York City and let's go ice skating, like, I don't want to fucking do that. Those skates hurt.
Yeah.
And like, even like the rental hockey skates that I had the last time we went, they still hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, but I mean, if I spent a little bit of money and got a decent pair of skates, like, I'd know that I could get something that fit my foot well and was comfortable and molded to my foot. Mm-hmm. You know, but I mean, again, my point is just if a skate fits a foot well and it's comfortable, they're going to want to use it more. So.
Sure.
That's essentially where I'm going with that.
I do think that the entry level is super low. These are specialized skates. So if you're just looking to get your kids skates, don't spend $200 on the glitch.
Yeah.
Get them, you know, the $60, $70 pair of adjustable skates that you find from Amazon or from, you know, Best Buy Walmart or Target. Don't spend a ton of money because you don't know how interested they are in it.
Yeah.
But if they get to a point where they're coming to the skate park with you, they're doing airs and stuff, and they really want to start grinding, awesome opportunity to introduce them to it with an adjustable skate. $200 bucks, you know, it's a great Christmas price point. I think it's going to be really interesting to watch. I don't know how big that market is of kids who know that they want to do aggressive, but can't fit into an extra small them or Aeon or whatever. Yeah. You know, like, does the Aeon come in at 38? I think it does.
It might.
Aeon. The EQT comes in, well, there's only two, and they're men's sizes. That's not what you want. I know they come in the 7. There's really hit or miss in, they might start at the 7. That might be as low as they go.
Yeah, so the EQT, on PowerSlide's website, they list the EQT to go down to a 36.
36, see? So why if you got a... You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
If you could get an Aeon for, what is it, 220?
They list it on the PowerSlide site at 250.
Okay, so but 50 that's on bucks sale. More. Yeah, 50 bucks more and you get a proper aggressive skate versus the adjustable. See, this is where it's a tough sell.
I agree. It is kind of tough when you talk to
you think
of
it that way. Yeah.
So I would probably, if Emily came to me and said, "Hey, I want to get some aggressive skates," and it was between those two, I'd spend the extra $50 because I know that the Aeon's a better skate.
Right.
You know, it's super solid. You know, it's comfortable.
Yep.
It's just easier to do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a better skate.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, end of the day, what is the market for this skate?
Yeah.
As awesome as it could be, who's buying it? Who's spending $200 for a skate for their kids, you know? And I think that 31 to 34 is their market. 35 to 38, they got Aeons. Is the Sway coming that size?
Let's see.
I use Roller Warehouse for most of it, but it's hard to find the sizes. It says it goes down to a size 7. I don't know what the sizing is for that. Oh, there it is. So it goes down. It goes down to a 38. So 37, 38. So again, it's pretty small.
Yeah.
You know, if you were a 36, you know, do you get the glitch? Yes. 35, yes.
Yeah.
37, no. Just get a Sway. For either $200 or whatever.
Sway or an Aeon, yeah. Because, even the new Team 60s for the Sways, with the new sole plates, 37 to 38 is a small shell.
Yeah.
So I would probably try to push Emily into those
yeah.
if she decided that she wanted to do it. But I mean, again, like, there's so much less to worry about with the Aeons for someone at that level.
Exactly.
For me, like, I would probably, if she said, "Oh, I want to get some skates, what color do you want?" I got you. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I'll find you something.
That is exactly the market for the Aeon. It's somebody who doesn't know what they want, but they want to start doing aggressive skates. It's a great aggressive skate, and you can make it work for you until you know better, and then you say, "Okay, I want to get a Sway, or I want to get a Carbon Free, or I want to get, like, it is the perfect entry-level aggressive skate."
Agreed.
Yeah, I love that they're going there. I'm going to be watching it very closely because I would love to do a kid's skate. I think, like you said, you know, the children of the future, there would be a great way to get more kids involved if you brought those glitch to the skate park and you said, "Here, it will fit your feet." Yeah, no matter what. Like, we'll make them fit your feet. And then they'll go out there and skate and they'll have a great time. That is a great market. You know, if you had a van and you rolled up and you said, "Hi kids, do you want some skates?" I'm just kidding. That's
well,
not
I'm
the
going
market.
On Facebook Marketplace for a for a panel van. Free skates. Spray painted on the free side.
No, the way that Team Rollerblade used to do it is what I was trying to say. You go up to an event and you roll up with a van and you've got the launch ramp in the back and you've got a whole rack of skates for people to try. That is what's going to bring skating to the kids.
Absolutely.
And you've got to make sure that they fit them. And this is a great skate for that.
I agree 100%. I think it's a great idea. You know, Clark might be able to do such a thing. Clark did get a van recently.
He did get a van. I don't know that he's interested in the kids thing. He's got enough kids of his own.
Right.
I think eventually he'd like to make a kid skate. I think he'd like to make everything. He's very ambitious.
Yeah.
But he also got a dog, did you notice? So he's got his hands full right now.
Yeah. Yeah, he did get another dog.
Yeah. Busy boy.
I'm glad he's out there doing it.
He is working his ass off, if you ask me. Every time I see him, he's somewhere new, driving that van somewhere else.
Yeah.
Just working guy.
They were just in Vegas, and now they're headed to Dallas, last I saw.
They were in Austin, last I heard, which is the tour, on tour always. So that's USD. It was a pretty calm year for USD, you know? I think, which was smart. The, you know, Michael Weitzman Pro Skate, probably the highlight of my year for USD.
Yeah.
Such an amazing guy, such an amazing skater, like... He's the dude that, you know, I felt, you know, I was watching him on the YouTube before he won that Blading Cup, and then it all kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah.
Really, like, the most deserving, most humbled guy, just loves to skate, does all disciplines. He's great at wizardy stuff. He's great at aggressive. You know, his skate is like a tan with brown. It's a really cool-looking look. It comes with a... new liner. Did you know about this? So it comes with the Prime liner, which is different than the Prime liner that I got with my USD or with my Gods.
The Frankens. The first
Tim
ones.
Frankens.
Yeah.
It's also different than the Prime liners that came in the Mesmers. This is a naming.
How many Prime
issue.
Liners can they make?
As far as I know, there are only three Prime liners.
Oh,
they're
geez.
All slightly different.
Okay.
This Prime liner, though, is very similar to an Intuition. So it is their high-end liner. If you search for the MyFit Prime liner, you will find them on like Inline Warehouse for like $170, $180 bucks.
Wow.
Yeah. I think they retail for $199, but you can buy them for $175 or so. They are a direct... competitor to Intuition. If you look at them, they are very similar to Intuition.
Yeah, they are.
They come with a neoprene toe, which is a different vibe than the Intuition. The Intuitions are single material the whole way around, a padded toe. But it looks like a really nice liner. It's just so expensive. $175 bucks for an Intuition. The neat thing, I guess, is that you can get the Michael Weitzman boot only for $249. So $249 for a Sway, which is, you know, probably my favorite hard shell boot, with a Prime liner, which, you know, is a $200 liner. That's a pretty good deal.
Not a bad deal at all.
Yeah.
And it's actually a pretty sharp looking colorway too.
Mm-hmm.
With those orange and the tan / cream color.
It is what the Nils should have looked like, in my opinion. Do you remember that Nils Rossi's from last year or the year before?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is the right colorway. Browns are hard. Browns and tans. I think I've mentioned that before in the past, but it's a really difficult color to get right because the saturation can turn it really quickly into a red or a yellow.
Yep.
Or into a poop or vomit. So you could go either way with that.
I want a vomit-colored frame.
it's really easy to get on the wrong side of brown when you're dealing with plastics.
Yeah, very true, very true. Because didn't you guys were doing a frame for John Elliott?
That's
he
right.
He wanted like a khaki color, and it just didn't come out right.
He wanted a khaki, and we made him poop. And then he said, "I don't like this." And I said, "Well, we made hundreds of them," and he said, "Fuck," and he started ground control.
That's hysterical.
And shortly after, Shima left. So there's that.
Oh man,
we can laugh about it now. Yeah, exactly. It's not. It's all funny now. So yeah, USD. That was probably the standout for me. They obviously came out with other skates, but for me, that was the standout. I think Weitzman is a great guy. He's the future of USD in my eyes. I think that team could use a little bit of a shakeup. You know, it's been pretty much the same team for a while. They've added a few people, but I think that, you know, he is the fresh blood that we need. He skates amazing, like the new style. He is the younger generation of skater. And yeah, I hope that there's a big, bright future for him.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of really good stuff. And just anything he does really, really well. Mm-hmm. Really impressed with him.
No doubt. Not at all related to USD. Mesmer had a few skates this year.
Son of a bitch.
I'm kidding. I'm a big fan of Mesmer. I think that it's hard when you've got so many skate molds available.
Yeah.
Like Powerslide does. How do you differentiate? You know, you don't want seven different USD skates. And, you know, for a while, that's kind of what Valo was to Rossi's, where they wanted to tackle this aggressive market. But how do you do that if you're Rossi's? You know, Rossi's felt stale. They needed to reinvent themselves. And in a lot of ways, you know, I feel like Mesmer could kind of be the spiritual successor of USD. I think that USD, you know, just celebrated, what, their 30th year being around.
Yeah.
That's a long time for a brand.
It really is.
And, you know, I think that the USD stretch, they are everywhere. And they are, I would assume, the most popular overall brand from a skater's perspective. Like, more skaters, if you looked at feet, more skaters skate a USD skate than any other skate worldwide. Just because of their distribution, because of their availability, you know, maybe you don't see that at your local skate park, but get outside of the US. You know, Europe is huge there. Everywhere around the world, Powerslide is available, and wherever Powerslide is available, USD is available.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you differentiate yourself? And I think that Matias was super smart back in the COVID days in first putting a lot of effort and energy under Gods. You know, Gods used to just be a clothing company that Frankie started. Then it was a wheel company that I'm sure he partnered with Matias to make the wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started making the skates, and they made the FM1, which was a carbon free, but that had a, you know, Jordan skin to it.
Yep.
And they've made, you know, Mikel Prado skates. They've made the Tim Franken hardshell boot. What do you do if you want to continue using those molds, but you don't want to saturate the USD market? Well, you create a sub brand. And mm-hmm. Mesmer is one of those. You know, I think Matias was, again, super smart. He knew that Billy was hungry, and he is an amazing dude and can, you know, is ready for a challenge, you know? He's built up a team with Mesmer that I feel is a very unique group within rollerblading. They bring something very unique. They bring something special. And, you know, they're capturing more of the market through that. Those skates don't fit my feet. The, you know, Mesmer skate is the old USD Throne, which mm-hmm. they've modified to make a single piece and, you know, fix the molds so that they could continue making skates again. A lot of people love those skates. The sole plate is great. You know, the shape of the sole plate is great. The material they use on the sole plate is great. They're a popular skate, and I think it's great that they're out there bringing something fresh. You know, Mesmer skaters are separate than any other skater out there, and we needed something like that in the market. I think when they first launched, what was it, beginning of last year, beginning of, well, 22, I guess, middle of 22, I think we both said, yeah, this is something that we've needed, you know, since like 4x4, since, you know, the whole rat tail world, SSM world, like this is kind of a spiritual successor of that. And I think it fits our good market, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. It's definitely a spiritual successor to SSM and what was it before? NIMH.
NIMH.
Like, as you were saying that, I was like, oh, yep, that's exactly what they are. Because it just makes sense. Like, they have that Hessian rocker type ideal and everything like that, and they have a bunch of really talented dudes on their team. And it's just fucking wild.
It's watching pretty crazy. Them. Yeah, for just a year, year and a half that they've been around. Grown really big, I think, you know. I obviously don't know their sales numbers. They've got five skates, I guess. So there were two Bolinos. There was the original colorway, and then there was the all-black colorway, I think.
Yeah.
Then they did the Dominic Bruce, which was the kind of old Bauer Civility style, which was the like the mossy green color with the like a tannish kind of brown, really cool colorway. Not really for me, but I like the shades that they used.
Yeah.
And then this year they had two team skates, which came in at a really low price point. I think they were like $280 or something like that.
Yeah, they were not expensive.
Mesmer. So the team TS1 and the TS2 complete are $290. The difference there is that they are a different material for their boots. So for the Dominic Bruce and the John Bolino, they used, what's it called? Pebax? Is that what it's called? P-E-B-A-X?
Yeah, it's like a new bio-friendly stuff. It's like the corn-based stuff that Roses is using, but not. Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be really good for rebound and really good for athletic uses. I have, you know, I only skated the Bolinos for a month, so I don't really feel qualified to comment on the quality of the material, but a lot of people like it. The fact that they're doing a team skate with a less expensive material at a lower price point, again, super smart. You know, differentiate the market. If somebody likes Mesmers, but maybe they can't afford a $300 or $400 skate, I guess they were. How do you get one? Well, let's get a team skate for $300. All right, that works.
And it's a good looking skate.
It's a good looking skate. Yeah.
I mean, I really like the color. I love Thrones. I love the way they look, and mm-hmm. I really enjoyed skating them when I did. I just don't think that I could. I worry that they're legitimately going to be still too narrow for the ball of my feet.
Oh, they are. That's the point that hurts me the most.
Yeah, and because I skated them with jug liners when I had them. I had the jug black socks in them, and I just dealt with it, honestly.
Yeah.
And then I got my hands on, through a bunch of like weird trades and purchases that I did on Blade Trade when it was new, I ended up with like 4 or 5 pair of skates, like 3 extra pair of liners, a bunch of frames and stuff. And so I had these like old jug Argyles that were super worn in, and that worked relatively well. But I mean, it was a fun time in my skating and in my journey back, but I don't know if I could deal with it again.
Yeah. It's probably not worth it. I did a review of the Mesmers. I liked the heel plate, the sole plate. The heel was a problem, and it just hurt my foot. Again, that tightness in the heel, when I was skating them, I would just get pain.
Yeah.
And that's not going to work. You know, I just can't skate those skates.
Yeah, that's not good.
A lot of people like them, though. So,
yeah.
Again, it's a thing that I think could be a good opportunity for some people out there. Looking forward to what they do this year. I love the marketing. I love the constant edits. My hunch is that they'll have a skate for Levi this year. I don't know how you pronounce his first name. That guy is so good.
Yeah, and he really is.
He is working so hard. Like, I've seen a lot of posts from him lately. I feel like he is like on tap or on deck for this. So I hope that they do something. Hope it's a cool colorway. You know, something that fits the Mesmer vibe. They've all been very like desaturated, you know, colors, and I love that. I would love to see something like that again, but in a different color. I'm excited about the brand. I think again, it's something that I wish that I could fit my foot into. A lot of people really like them, and yeah, I think it's good to see a brand that isn't USD technically, you know, that's coming on strong.
Yeah, it's really nice that's still an option for the folks that love that skate. Mike French just posted a picture of those too. I'm hyper focused on him for some reason, but he had bought some Mesmers and still had some old Throne soles, so he finagled them on there and did some really cool shit on those. Did you know a lot about the French brothers?
Yeah, a bit. Not a lot, I would say, but they were my era. Maybe the end of my, you know, era that they started really coming up.
Yeah, they're still really fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so like I'm really into watching them, and same thing, like they've found sobriety, they're working really hard, you know, doing what they can to provide for their families and still have a lot of fun. And it's great to see. Like, I'm really, really excited to see stuff from them.
Yeah.
But then another thing, like, so Mike is doing a trip to Kentucky.
Okay.
Somewhere. And he's going down to skate with the Murder Militia guys. And
oh, nice. Yeah.
Every time I see Murder Militia, I cringe a little bit at the name. I'm glad that they're doing what they're doing and they're still doing it. But just, like...
Yeah,
I don't love the name. That's my only thing.
It's not for you.
Exactly, it's not for me.
And Mesmer, not for you. Yeah. Gods, not for you.
The new Michael Prados are really nice, though.
They're really nice.
They look good.
I would love to see you in some Gods.
Good luck
with the full Gods outfit.
I mean. Halloween's not that far away. I'm not against doing it. So it's if anybody's got some gods that I can borrow and some gods gear.
It's not for me. And that's fine. That's what's so nice about it.
Yeah.
And that's what I was kind of getting at with Mesmer. Like, we need brands for each of these little subsets.
Niche brands.
You know, yeah, generic brands are fine. You know, everybody needs skates and Rollerblade is there for you. But I feel like, you know, again, the team stuff that they're doing at Mesmer, it's great. They're really doing it right. So I'm a fan.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. It's interesting to see what they're doing, but just like we said, not necessarily for us. But I'm glad they're there, and I'm glad they're there for the people that love their shit.
Exactly.
Where else... What other shit can we talk?
So, if you want to talk shit, we can talk about Adapt. Tough year, man.
It is.
So,
it is.
You know, I, you know, have been a big Adapt fan for many years. Adapt was the first real carbon skate that I skated, you know, thanks to Chris Johns. I was able to try his... Steve Johns, not Chris Johns. Steve Johns.
How dare you, sir?
Yeah, who's Chris Johns? Chris Johns is an old friend of mine, but I don't remember where I know him from. Steve Johns. I was able to skate, you know, his adapts, and then eventually I purchased those adapts from him. I bought my own pair of Stealths. I really love the skates. They are the closest thing that I've ever gotten to a shoe that felt like it was attached to my foot, that had wheels on the bottom of it I could do skate tricks with.
Yeah.
It is an amazing feeling when you have a dialed in fit with an adapt and you just skate, you know, there's no wiggle. There's no nothing. It's just this solid sound, no moving parts, you know, no plastic except for the sole plate. Like it is a great skate. They've had some controversy, you know, I think the owner is, he can be a bit divisive. He's had some struggles and some, you know, people concerned with the way that he handles things. You know, that doesn't change the skates. You know, end of the day, if you're just being objective about the skates and you can set aside any of the issues with
the shenanigans.
Yeah, everything. The skates are top notch. You know, no question about it. Sadly, this year they've announced that the skates that I like, the Brutales, are no longer going to be made.
Yeah.
So they had a few different lines. One of them was called the Handmade line, which included the Brutales and it included the GTOs. Those are the carbon or Dialin materials. So they make a shell out of Dialin or of carbon, and then they wrap it in a nubuck leather, which you can customize, get whatever colors you want, colorways, embroidery, stuff like that. And, you know, maybe they put a soul plate on for aggressive, maybe they don't for wizardy stuff, or if you're skating the GTOs and pigwheels. And it makes this really amazing skate. Unfortunately, they won't be making those anymore. They are only going to be making the Masterpiece section. Now, the Masterpiece collection are the very expensive, super premium carbon skates. And to me, I feel like those skates I would destroy way too fast to make it worthwhile.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, I fall down so much, I've already scumped up my Brutales enough that, you know, it's a noticeable wear. Which to me is the issue with any skinned skate, whether it's carbon or plastic. When you wear through the skin, it starts to really impact it. And, you know, it's an aggressive skate. It's fine. You're going to fall down. You're going to damage it. Problem is, if you're spending a ton of money for a full carbon skate without a skin, you're damaging directly to the carbon.
Oh, yeah.
And that, you know, it just rubs me the wrong way.
I agree.
I think that it makes a lot of sense for big wheel stuff where you don't necessarily fall down all that much. I think it makes a lot of sense if you've got money to burn and you want the most responsive ride. Because, as I said, the design is amazing. It feels great on your feet. But how big is that market?
You know? Yeah. I mean, like, I've seen more than a few people with them. Mm-hmm. So, like, part of me is like, all right. I mean, like, the market's there. But, I mean, I don't see it as a sustainable option for much longer. But, I mean, I'm not the one seeing the orders coming in, so I can't mm-hmm. really say with any definitivity, with any authority, that it's going to work or it's not. I mean, I've seen a number of people on the team on the Super Vlache mm-hmm. SCs, but I mean, again, same thing. Like, it's just, it's not. It's another one. It's not for me, kind of things. But it's a really neat idea. I like it. I can't fuck with it.
Yeah, it's just not for me. Yeah. So the Super Vlache SC, which is the Sem Croft Pro model.
Yeah.
I held these at Bittergold.
Okay.
And they are really nice. You know, if you can swing it, they're a really nice skate. They're super light, super polished. Like, they are, you know, where it says Masterpiece, like, I think that might be a little pretentious, but it's definitely up there with the best of the best if you want a handmade, custom-crafted skate.
Yeah.
It is $1,300 boot only. 1,300 euro boot only. That's just out of my price range. Now, it might not out of everyone's price range. It's out of my price range.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, I just fall down too much to justify a skate like this. There are others. There is the Super Leggera SP, which is the I think it's the Quattro mount. I don't know what mounting system it is, but it's not UFS. It might be compatible with UFS, but it's designed for big wheel skating, and mm-hmm. You know, it's a similar €1,300. Boot only. It's just a very expensive thing, and maybe they can sell enough to justify it. Maybe they can sell enough to cover the amount of money. Maybe they weren't making a ton of money on the Brutales and the GTOs. Again, I say this a lot. I don't know their finances. It's up to them. If they can make it work with just doing these, if, you know, they're happier just making these, more power to you.
Absolutely.
I do think that there will be a potential, and I think in the announcement video they mentioned that they were going to do things outside of rollerblading. They have done ice skates. They have done, I think they've done quad skates as well.
Yeah, they did do a custom quad skate.
Yeah, and I think they did a custom speed skate, maybe? It's a boot, you know? They're really good at making these boots. And what else can you make this boot for? And I think that's where they really want to focus. High-end, money is no object. I want the best of the best. Well, I've got a solution for you. A custom-made carbon boot with a, you know, incredible materials and everything like that. It's going to cost you, but it's going to be the lightest, most responsive skate that you'll ever have. I think there's a market for it.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about the glitch. I don't know how big the market is, but I think there's a market for it. Maybe there's enough to sustain them.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah. It's sad, though. I mean, just to be honest, like I would always suggest people if they had the desire to get the best of the best, you get the Brutale. You know, that was always my thing. Like, the Adapts are great. My favorite skates. They're expensive. But if you can swing it, get them. And now I can't recommend that, you know?
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's a completely different skate.
But, I mean, it's... So, I remember when Adept first started. And they had the one skate. And I was like, oh, these are goofy looking. Like, I don't like the lack of a cuff and all this stuff. And like, they were putting, like, socks over them and then putting the sole plates on over that to hide the boot while people were skating them and doing testing. And I was like, all right, I mean, that's weird, but I mean, we'll see.
Whatever, yeah.
We'll see how it goes. And it ended up being a pretty cool idea. And they did a ton of really awesome stuff. Like they had the B-Mag skate collab skate that they did, and those were really, really nice looking. And they've just... Everything that I've seen has been super high quality. You know, I've heard there were some communication issues with a couple people, but you know, overall, like I don't think I've heard anyone say anything bad about Adapt about the skates.
Yeah, the skates. You know, yeah,
there's just that little controversy, but we don't have to talk about that.
Everybody's going to have difference of opinions.
Yeah.
You know, personalities are one thing, but you can't deny the quality of the skates.
Absolutely. And I've said it time and time again. Like, I got to skate guys at, what year is it, at Woodward. I can't deny that they felt really nice.
Yeah.
And given, you know, a few months in them, skating them on a regular basis, I could definitely see myself falling in love with them. But, I mean, they're it's out of my price range, like we've talked about. Yeah. Like, even the normal ones, like the Brutalities, I wouldn't be willing to spend the money. You know, especially because I fall a lot because I suck now. Because I'm old and I'm overweight, but yeah. I mean, I'm happy with the skates that I have, and so I can't really. It would be difficult. It's not that I couldn't afford it. It just doesn't seem smart for me to spend that much money. Yeah, it's not worth the price of admission for me to do that. So, I mean, it is sad. Like I love the fact that they were there, and I love the constant what's the word I'm thinking of? Innovations that Peter was putting into his products. You know, with the different changes he was doing with the frames and the aluminum core frame that he did and stuff. Like did a lot of really awesome stuff, and it's a bummer that we're losing that for the mass market.
Right. Yeah. It's, I don't know. I mean, it's brands change.
Yeah.
You know, and they shift their perspective and their focus. Maybe they'll make them again, you know, in 2025. Who knows? But maybe. For 2024, it is, you know, from what I know, strictly a high-end, you know, carbon.
They're a boutique brand now.
Which, yeah, exactly. We don't have any of those. That's, if you want the best of the best, there you go.
Yeah. And it's nice that option is there. I don't know. Maybe this is the ploy and he's going to drop some new hot shit next year.
I mean, maybe, yeah. I don't know anything. So it's interesting to see the shift.
Yeah.
And the progression and the I guess the evolution of the brand.
What's John gonna do?
Julio?
No, From.
Oh, From? Oh, I don't know.
Fuck.
That's yeah, he just got a pro Brutale, right?
Yeah. Like, is he just going to be skating the Super Veloce SCs?
I don't know that he's tried them. Maybe.
Are you going to get him on the standard?
I think we're good with standard. Speculation. Yeah, I think we're good with standard. Right. I don't know. But I do know that he just had his pro skate, which was awesome to work with him with. That came out in 2023, yep. Which, you know, we don't get a lot of skates that have all the pro parts. So again, you know, huge shout out to Adapt for doing it right. I always feel like that should be an option. If somebody wants to do the full pro model, then they should have that as an option. I don't think that it needs to be everything. I don't think you need to have just that model available. I think a boot only is good, and I'm sure they sold more boot only than they did completes, but it was nice to be able to work with them and Red Eye and Adapt and have a frame on John Skate, because that's the way that John skates. So
yeah,
why not get a skate the way that he skates?
Yeah, I love the idea that you had going into that, and I'm glad that you guys were able to make that happen.
Yeah, it was nice to be part of, that's for sure.
For sure. I'm excited to see what John does.
If you are looking for a carbon skate, Faction's a good option. So it is a
really good too.
Yeah, it is a carbon skate. Very, how do you say Faction? So came out not last year, but the year before. Is that right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Was it last year? No, it wasn't last year. They had the shred pool already, and then last year would they have the whites? And they had
the whites.
Was the shred pool last year? I don't remember.
I believe it was last year. Because they came out in 2022, because Clark had the first ones when we first went to the... when was that?
Yes, I bought the first ones, and we went together to skate them.
Yeah.
And was that when the P-Rail, or the thing... burned me, so it must have been summer, right? So it was probably June-ish?
Yeah, it was June 22nd of 22. Well, that's when I got the clip from you that I posted, so it was a little before that.
So then that means that after that was the shred pool, which probably came out in end of the year?
I think so. Close to that, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like January. So maybe it was announced in December, and then it came out in January-ish, started shipping March, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah.
And then they had the whites. So, yeah, two releases a year. That's a pretty good pace, if you ask me. It is a carbon boot. So if you're looking for a carbon boot with a skin, it is a good option for you. The neat thing that I liked about Factions is that it has a removable liner. So if you had a liner that fit you, that you wanted to use in the Faction skates, you could. Their liners are fine. They work great. You know, I always recommend that you get the liners that come with the skates. Try them out before you do anything else. But if they don't fit, if they're too big for you, if you want to downsize, if you want to get a smaller shell, one of the neat things is you don't have an integrated liner with Faction. You could just slide your liner right in and skate whatever liners you want.
Yep.
They have two sole plates now, which is really cool. So you can do the big aggressive one, or you can do the, I don't know what they call the little one, so they came with the Stealth Soul Plate, it's called.
Yeah. I was thinking so Slim for some reason.
Yeah. No, it's a Stealth Soul Plate which has a slightly... It's a little smaller. One of my complaints with the original Soul Plates was it was a little too lunch tray-ish. I felt like I was knocking my heels when I was jumping on ledges. I hit myself a couple of times. You will get used to it. You know, I only gave them one session and then, you know, made that decision that the sole plate was too big. If you skated them more, you would probably feel better about it and you would get used to it. But I didn't. It was just a weird one. I do think that these new sole plates, which I haven't tried, but I do think that these new sole plates will probably fit me better. They look like a really nice design, really nice Again, stealth shape to it. It's got a very Majestic 12 style Royale Groove backslide plate, whatever you want to call it. So it's kind of like that little pocket that kind of looks like a Nike swoosh upside down.
Yep.
So when you're doing a Royale, instead of having your feet parallel, you have your feet a little at an angle. Kind of an interesting vibe. Not really the way that I like to skate them, but different strokes for different folks. You know, I think having a different sole plate option is really cool. And they are compatible with any of the other faction boots. So you can get the shells, swap around the sole plates, and really customize them however you want.
Yeah, I like that option's available too. When I skated Hood Pandas,
mm-hmm.
I was impressed. Like they were wide enough where they were super comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
My only concern would be they might feel a little bit too wide. So I also didn't skate him with the stock liners. I don't think Matt had. I think Matt had Intuitions in his.
Mm. But he might have.
But I know I used my them Intuitions. And while I did like them, I don't know if it was 100% the right skate for me.
It's a wider skate. I remarked on that as well. I felt like my foot was moving around a little bit more in there, but that can be adjusted with a liner. Again, the neat thing is you could swap in whatever liners you want. You can make it fit. Yeah, it's a good option. Again, carbon is weird. Some people really love it. I was a big fan of it. I think the stiffness, you know, down below is good, and then a flexi cuff, I think it's a really good option. Again, it's another thing out there that you can try. And, you know, if you're looking for a carbon boot, it's a definitely a good one to try out.
Agreed. Agreed. I was really hoping that white skate was going to be China's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think she would rock that. She skates them now, so
yeah,
it's a good look.
I mean, I was just hoping it was going to be her pro boot, but yeah, didn't happen. Not yet.
No, anymore. Someday.
Hopefully soon.
They did say that they were doing one, so yeah, who knows? Who knows when though?
I'm excited. Oh, we didn't talk about Icon. We don't have to go into much detail about Icon, so we'll just say that Justin sent me a white pair of his Icon frames.
Uh-huh.
And I put my pink-as-fuck Stefan Brando wheels in them, and I'm very excellent. Excited that I have that.
We need to get you out there and skate them. They are great frames.
Yeah, I'm really excited about them. I've got his T60Rs mm-hmm. on my 50-50 walls, or
yeah.
cores, and it's a great wall. So I'm excited to have something that's not 3D printed. While I trust the 3D print stuff, it's nice. It's going to feel nice to be on injection molded frames again.
They are a great frame. They're a different material than we use. It's a very hard material.
Okay.
I didn't have any issues though, and I skated flat 6088, I think.
Okay.
They are a slightly different groove than the core system groove, but they're also slightly lower. Maybe 2 millimeters lower.
Okay.
It did have a rockerable setup. I think I skated them with a 1 mil rocker.
Oh, yeah. That's 100% how I'm skating them.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I skated aggressive with them, too. And I think we went to Marsh. So, you know, carving around bowls and doing all my grinds and everything. Absolutely no issues with the 1 mil rocker. Very fun frame. Yeah, Icon is a brand that I don't really think about. Doesn't cross my mind any day, but I was stoked that they did that frame. It seemed like the sort of frame that should come from Kaiser, but
yeah,
more power to them, right? I mean, if they can make a cool frame, I go for it.
Did you see the weird shit that Kaiser just dropped?
I've seen a few things that Kaiser dropped. Which is the weird one?
The Shift Unlimited.
Yes. That's a frame that... Again, I love Kaiser because they just go for it.
Yeah, it's ambitious as fuck.
Yeah. They've made, and Kaiser and Ground Control over the years, they've made so many different crazy frames.
Yeah.
And they've made some great ones, but some of them are just batshit crazy if you look at them in hindsight, right?
Yeah.
I don't know where this one's going to end up. So the basic premise is that it has a replaceable H block. The H block is wide, and it comes with three different options. So one of the options is a flat frame. So it has a groove that's designed for flat. It's a little bit tighter, a little bit of wheel bite protection, and you can skate, you know, a flat setup. Mm-hmm. One of them is designed for anti-rocker. So it's a deeper groove, wider groove, and you put anti-rocker wheels on. And then another one is a freestyle that has these little nubs, kind of like anti-rocker wheels, but they're actually just plastic nubs with a nice wide groove. So you can grind all the things. And it's all built into one frame. That sounds compelling. I think it's $120, which seems a little expensive. Yeah, but
it's pricey. But if you look at it in the sense that you're getting three frames in one.
Maybe. I mean, I would question the durability after wearing through one of those grooves to the point that you want to swap it around.
Yeah.
Or how easy it is to swap around. Again, this is like one of those... I haven't skated the frames. I don't want to pass judgment on them. I love that they did it. I don't know the practicality of it.
Yeah, it's... I mean, I feel like we're saying this a lot. Not necessarily for me, but...
Yeah, maybe not for me.
But I love the idea. I love that it's... I love that it's available for people.
Maybe there is a market for it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if I was... If I wanted... I don't think you can rocker them, though. That would be an issue for me. I've very much taken on the Frank Stoner idea of everybody should be skating rockered. Justin has definitely changed my mind on that, and I'm very much enjoying it. So
I will say that between you, Frank Stoner, and Justin, you probably logged 1 hour of skating in the last year.
Hey,
hey. I'll just say there's not a lot of skating between this rocker crew.
But when I do, when I'm doing it, I'm doing it correctly.
I
still just can't deal with anti-rocker. I'm at the point where I can't even deal with flat.
Well, flat is fun.
It is, but it's not as fun as rockered.
Rockered is it's fun.
It is.
Depends on what you're skating. There's a right setup for every situation.
That's also very true. That's also true. I can't negate that. I also, when I was clicking around on the PowerSlide site, there's a new version of the Kaiser Advance.
Yes. Three different sizes, 72 and 80, and 76 now.
Yes.
Which is interesting. All slightly different. Some of them have more wheel bite protection. Some of them have a groove. I don't know. Again, it's an interesting concept. We skated the 3.1s. They were good. They were the 72-millimeter ones. I've skated the 80s without a groove. It just felt like a big wheel frame.
Yeah.
It was a shallow or a short wheelbase. I think it was
243,
which is just too short for anybody with a size 9 or above foot.
Yeah.
I
would say it's probably too small even for a size 9.
Yeah, it might be good for you. Again, not for me, but
it's definitely Kaiser's too always, short for me.
Kaiser always doing the new things, you know. They try everything once. They've got Kaiser the distribution that they can try it. Yeah, I mean, we need people like that. We need people to push boundaries and see what works and what doesn't.
Absolutely.
Glad it's their money and not mine.
Yeah. And they have a couple people that we like a lot on their payroll, so.
That's very true.
Happy about that. Did you see that Ricardo Lino is partnering with a new brand?
Yes. So he has left Micro, and he's changing things around a lot. We'll see how much that pans out. But he is now working with Flying Eagle, which could be really interesting. I've always been a fan of Flying Eagle skates. I think the quality has been great. I never tried the Enkido, which is the aggressive skate.
Yeah.
Seemed a little weird to me, like a Band-Aid on a, you know, a rec skate to see if you could do soul grinds.
Yeah.
I did like their, what was the F7? Is that the one that I had?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they sent it to me for review, and I had sent them back, so... I don't have them anymore, but just always like to disclose when I get free stuff.
Yeah.
They were a really good fit. The liners were good. The shell itself was good. It's a 165 mount. I felt really solid when I was skating them. If he has access to those materials and they let him do some fun stuff, he could probably do some good things. You know, I think, I don't know that he did much at Micro. You know, I didn't see a lot come out of that. I don't know if that's the fault of Lino or if it's the fault of the brand.
Yeah.
I do hope that he has learned a lot from Micro, his experience at Micro, and he can bring that to Flying Eagle and really turn it around. Because Flying Eagle makes great skates. They need a bit of an image upgrade, and they need some distribution in the United States. Mm-hmm. If they could do that, I think they would do really good numbers, you know, because they are, again, quality skate, good price.
Yeah.
All that they need is somebody to support them and say, yeah, these are, you know, vouch for them, right?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed the ones that I had, and, you know, they fit well. You know, they're very high quality. You know, mm-hmm. Well, I'm really excited to see what Lino's going to end up doing with them. Hopefully they're going to revamp the Enkido and make it a little more streamlined. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I wonder who's distributing them into the States now. I wonder if it's still Jeff.
I don't think anybody is.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't think you could find them anywhere. Where else would it be? Inline Warehouse?
Inline Warehouse carried them for a bit, yeah. I think once they went to the 125 frame, when they put that mm-hmm. out, I think that's kind of when they kind of died out.
Well, they do have a few, and they have some of the new stuff. They have the X5D Spectre, which is their brand new skates. They're in pink and they're in gray. Really, really nice looking skates. So, yeah, they definitely have Flying Eagle. I don't know that they're importing them directly or what, but yeah. At least you can get them here. And again, vouch for the quality. They are a great, high quality skate. We'll see what they do this year. I'm looking forward to that.
Me too. I'm excited to see what Lino brings to the table with them.
Yeah.
So,
one more brand.
Yes.
And then we'll wrap it up. So very excited about Standard. I announced it in February, I think. Yeah. Bitter Cold. And
yes.
You know, been working on this for 3+ years now. It is our brand new skate, so very proud of the work that we've done. Standardskate.co or StandardSkateCo on the Instagram. It is the hugest stress ball that I've ever had. But it is probably the project that I'm going to be most proud of when we finally do ship. I do think, so you don't need to speak too much on Standard. If you're listening to this, you know all about it already. You might even have a pre-order in, which I appreciate you. I do think that we are at, and this might be just my rose-colored glasses, but I do think that we are at a turning point in the industry where we are seeing people who, like John Julio, who grew up skating, now making their own skates. You know, we've seen skater-owned brands in the past. You know, started with Senate, and we had, you know, Fitty Fitty, of course. We've had FR. We've had plenty of skater-owned companies in the past. There haven't been very many skater-owned skates. And these are skates that are designed for what we do. Now, aggressive is a very small facet of skating. What we're doing is not going to impact the big guys one bit. You know, Rollerblade isn't going to lose any sleep over Standard.
Yeah.
But I feel like we will be able to provide a much better skate than any other skate that's come before us. And, you know, I'm including them, I'm including Faction in this discussion because we grew up skating, because we know what we want in a skate. And I don't know that that's really happened before. You know, skaters have obviously been involved with the development of skates. You know, that's nothing new. You look at Shadow and, you know, it was Shane and Dustin with, you know, the design team at Solomon being able to make that happen. So it's not the first time that it's ever happened. But we're on the hook for it. Like, we're taking this really seriously. You know, this is John's full-time gig.
Yeah.
And it needs to work. So he's going to work really hard on it. And that's the beginning of the next phase of blading in my eyes. You know, we've got these brands that now you can support, and you know that you're supporting skaters, actual skaters who grew up skating like you, who love skating. You know, we're not doing this to get rich, and we're not doing this because it's a job. We're doing this because we love it, and we want to invest a lot of time and money into what we're passionate about. So, you know, everybody who's supported them, obviously, is huge. You know, John has built this amazing world around them skates. And, you know, the 909 is a great skate. Clark definitely taking, you know, the reins and saying, you know, I want to make the skate like I want to make a skate. And I love carbon. And I want a slightly wider skate. And I want it to have a slightly bigger sole plate so that I can do, you know, negatives and stuff. He can do that. I have a different perspective on making skates, you know?
Yep.
And I love that we're building skates based on the way that we want to build skates. You know, it's not going to a committee. It's not going to a corporation of engineers and designers. It's going to people who are actually, you know, have the skin in the game. So I'm really looking forward to 2024, you know, selfishly, because we'll be able to launch our skate. But I'm also looking at it as the beginning of that next era. I do think that there will be more coming, more skater-owned brands as we get older, as we get more, like, skilled. You know, Justin being able to design frames the way that he likes to skate. I love that idea. And there are more and more skaters out there who have professional careers that can apply to stuff that you would need in the blading community.
Yeah.
That's where we're at now, you know, and we've got money. We've got money we can invest in blading. And it's a really exciting time, you know. I think we'll look back again in 5 years, we'll look back and we'll say that was the beginning of something really cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, and maybe it was the beginning when John started it, because, you know, I wouldn't have been able to start Standard if John hadn't started them and said, this is possible. You know, people have done off-the-shelf open mold skates before. Brian Shima did it. You know, it's not the first time that that's ever happened.
Yeah.
But John has his own molds, and that's huge. And that was just proof that, yeah, we can do this. Like, there is enough support out there for somebody to make their own molds the way that they want to make their skates. So I'm really excited about the future. Again, I think that if I've learned anything over the last, you know, 5-6 years of being fully invested in blading, it's that this community is amazing, and they'll support people who support them. And, yeah. You know, I think that we are really building a strong, like, coalition of industry that's here for the right reasons. You know, we're here because we love this thing. We want to support the events. We want to go out there and skate with everybody. Like, we're building skates for ourselves. Like, that's never happened before. You know, that's a huge thing. Like, Kato back in the days with Remedies, right? That was the first one. Or Toto and Kato with the Poppy and the OUT skates, right?
That was such an ugly skate.
Yeah. But it was a skate. And it was like, they built it because they wanted something they wanted to do. Yeah. And I feel like now we're at a point where we're older, we're wiser. We know what we want. We know that aggressive isn't going to get big. Like, it's not going to be the X Games again. It's not going to be, you know, the big, you know, aggressive inline, you know, Xbox game. It's not like that. But it's enough for us to have these small companies that make really high quality skates that are designed exactly for who you are, because we are who you are. And I'm thrilled about it. You know, this is the dream come true. I can't wait to revisit this this time next year with a recap of how 2024 went for Standard.
Agreed.
And for everyone,
it's going to be a great day when we get to make that happen.